Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining me this morning for the second time, the very first time was when y'all were just kind of getting up and going, Chief Executive Officer Sam Smith with Hand Up Network. Good morning, Sam. Great to have you with us.
John, it's a pleasure to be with you.
You bet. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus. The In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Actually, should be by the day the show airs. So make sure you check that website, that In Focus page, in plenty of time. Sam, a little bit about the Hand Up Network. I know you visited with us. You started on New Year's Day of 2019, and it wasn't too long after that that we got you on the air. You were, at that time, a brand new ministry located in a building that's housed a lot of churches and ministries over the years. We could certainly write a book on that. It's at 200 Beckham Avenue. A lot of people still think of it as the old Assembly of God Church. And going strong after almost 2 years in business. Let's start off by talking about just a general overview of the things that you do, because it's different from the way it was when you and I first chatted.
Sure. Well, you know, we have a unique team. We've done this work all over the world, and we all came back home. We all lived in East Texas. And so our team came back because we saw that there was a huge need here in our own backyard. We had worked a lot with Hurricane Harvey, and that kind of opened our eyes. And so it's been quite an interesting journey to bring our expertise back into our own hometown. But the need here was even more than we ever expected. And so we have jumped in feet first, and we're very blessed in 2019 to serve over 20,000 people throughout East Texas, which is amazing to us. And the sad part is there's an awful lot of people in need. And, you know, with COVID-19 and everything that's happened with us in 2020, it's going to be a year that's going to more than double, triple that probably by the time we get through.
Mm-hmm. And you say that you've been all over the world. Are you just talking about your team members? I know you were with Mercy Ships for a good while, and you, I understand, have team members that have worked with a variety of different ministries that have given them a lot of on-the-ground experience.
Sure. Well, I was the CEO of Mercy Ships. I also was the CEO of Medical Ministry International. We ran hospitals and clinics all over the world. And the people that work with me at both of those organizations, a lot of those people are now with me now at Hand Up Network. So We've all come back home to try to focus on our own community.
You bet. Hand Up Network, 200 Beckham Avenue in Tyler. HandUpNetwork.com is the website. You can catch them on Facebook or Twitter at Hand Up Net. And the number is 903-597-5334. Really, just to kind of summarize it, and it says so in the packet that you gave me as I was doing my homework for the show, a nonprofit ministry committed to helping those experiencing a tough season in life to have hope for their future and a process to achieve it. And it just goes from there. Today, we're going to be talking, I believe, primarily about three major components: victim services, which I think is new since the last time we talked. Also, your mentoring program and your response teams. And we're at least going to throw in a little bit of a mention of your retail training center and resale store. Sam, there are so many needs out there. I've been in Tyler 31 years, and so many different ministries, so many different agencies, governmental agencies, nonprofits and ministries, what have you, that are dealing with different types of human needs. And you fit very squarely into that category, but you certainly have your own recipe and your own approach. Let's start with victim services. This is new for you guys since you and I first talked, and I believe has become the lead component of your ministry.
Well, it's certainly the front end of our ministry now. What we were seeing, we have people that walk through our doors every day. In fact, we have organizations throughout East Texas that bring people and drop them off at our facility, hoping that we can help people. But what we were finding is there were a lot of people that were victims of crime that had gone through the system and kind of dropped through the cracks. And they show up at our door, you know, sometime months, sometimes years after the victimization has occurred. And we have been working very hard to rebuild them and help them kind of get established and stabilized and help, you know, get back to living the life that they deserve. So we kind of took a step back and said, okay, we need to address this problem and try to keep these people from dropping through the cracks. And so we formed our victim services division. And so we are actually joined at the hip now with law enforcement, the medical community, the district attorney's office. If there is a crime that occurs, say a sexual assault occurs, law enforcement actually calls us and we come alongside them at the scene of the crime. And while they're doing what you do in law enforcement, doing their investigations and so forth, we're focusing on the victim, and we're trying to make sure the victim is taken care of properly.
And human trafficking, sexual assault, domestic violence, homicide, elderly abuse, suicide, stalking, and I'm sure the list goes on from there, but those are really just among the focal points of the kinds of things that your victims have experienced.
It is, and you know, people don't realize the amount of human trafficking. You know, Interstate 20 is a main corridor now for human trafficking, yeah. And so we are getting people that are not even from this area that are rescued by law enforcement. They show up at the hospital, and they know no one. And so the same nurses at both medical facilities, both Christus as well as UT Health, will give us a call. We come over, and basically after they do their forensic examinations and so forth, it's a warm handoff to our team because the journey is just beginning there. I don't know if people in our community really realize this. The world doesn't work like CSI on television. And so when you have a sexual assault, it could be up to 3 years before that actually goes to trial. And so these victims need help and they need support now. And so we're busy trying to stabilize their life, get them into a shelter, get them in a place where we can then start to help them rebuild their lives through our mentoring programs.
You bet. We'll get to that in just a few minutes, too. Sam Smith, CEO of Hand Up Network on 200 South Beckham in Tyler.
North Beckham.
Why did I say South Beckham? Okay. I'm glad you're not shy about correcting the show host. 200 North Beckham, basically it's 200 Beckham, but 903-597-5334 in the website for all the stuff that we just won't have time to get to today, handupnetwork.com. Also Facebook and Twitter accessibility. And you seek to provide stabilization to the victim and ensure that he or she is safe. I assume that that is the first step, and then you work closely with law enforcement. You accompany the victim to your partners at both medical systems for any medical and forensic medical procedures. So you're right there with them.
Well, we're their advocates. So we're there to basically provide a stable source of information. We're not there to make decisions for the victim. We're there to give them their options. And so the medical partners at both medical systems have been fantastic. And so they do their part. They go in and do their medical work. But once they're done, there's this comfort knowing that they're providing a warm handoff. That victim is actually still going to be taken care of after they leave the hospital. And so, you know, getting their life stable is a matter of, you know, shock is basically something that most victims deal with for 5 to 7 days after the victimization occurs. So we have to get them in a safe place, make sure they're stable. Once they're able to start making decisions on their own and really be able to do what they need to do, then we start to try to look at how do we get them set up to get into our mentoring program and help to build the life that, you know, we all deserve. Everybody deserves this. And when you're a victim, you certainly didn't ask for what happened to you.
Yeah. At this point, as we move on through the show, I think it's important to, just in general terms, not just with regard to victim services, but with everything you do, your five core values, those are listed as love God, love each other, serve, excellence, and accountability. I think it's important to mention that. That puts it all in the proper perspective, in my view, and I'm sure you agree with that. You work very closely with the DA's office and just law enforcement in general. You are now the hub of the Smith County Sexual Assault Domestic Violence Team. So you're right there at center court. Tell us a little bit about how that works. Anything you haven't already covered, and you've covered
sure.
a lot.
Well, the great thing is that all these different agencies, we all get together once a month to go over cases, go over how we're addressing and trying to make sure that we're taking care of these people. And, you know, what we found when we first launched this is, you know, we're doing this for the victims, trying to take care of the victims. But what we're finding is that this is even a blessing to our medical teams as well as our law enforcement teams, because a lot of times they deal with the front end, the horrific situation that has occurred, but they never know exactly what happens to that person. And they all have a huge heart and they want to know, you know, did she make it? Is she okay? And so to be able to also provide a team that basically understands their world and works closely with them has been such a blessing even to that group. So it's we all work together to try to support each other, and that the sexual assault response team is a way to do that, and do that very methodically, and to make sure that we're doing it right. And if we're not, we're going to tweak it and make it better.
You bet. Folks who have been listening to this show for quite a while know that off and on I'll refer to the material that you sent to me before the show, and I don't know if you're going to rival Tolstoy with War and Peace, but there is just a tremendous amount of information in here. We're not going to have time to go through it all, but just looking through these sheets, and is this all on your website?
It is.
Okay, yeah. If you go to that website, handupnetwork.com, and just read through some of this material, organizational summary, and all the way down through from there, you apparently have done your homework. I mean, this, these sheets, this website, just full of information. And I would assume that every letter of every word is something that you find necessary just to address this problem in all the detail and all the complexities and complications that that come with the issues you're dealing with.
Well, I would certainly say we're a dot your I, cross your T organization. We have done this work in a lot of places, and gray area is not good when you're doing this type of work.
No.
There is no room for, you know, flexibility in some cases, because you're dealing with people's lives. And so from our perspective, we are who we say we are, and we try to be as transparent as possible. And in fact, our volunteers, when they start to volunteer with us, that's usually the first comment I get is, oh my gosh, I knew you said you did this, but I didn't really think you could do everything, and you do.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Sam Smith, CEO of Hand Up Network in Tyler, in existence for just under 2 years at 200 Beckham Avenue in Tyler, and phone number is 903-597-5334, excuse me. HandUpNetwork.com is the website. And again, Hand Up Network, reading right off the sheet, a nonprofit ministry committed to helping those experiencing a tough season in life to have hope for their future and a process to achieve it. And you do that in a lot of different ways, and it's all tailored to the individual, which we're going to get to as well. But now we move on into the mentoring program aspect. That's something that you referenced a moment ago with regard to the victim services, and the, all your programs do mesh together. But let's talk specifically now about the mentoring program. Somebody needs or thinks he or she needs a mentor, and they walk in your doors, or they're referred by another church or maybe another nonprofit agency or a family member or friend. Let's take it from step one. They walk through the door. What starts to happen at that point?
Well, what I would first tell you is we get referrals from everyone, so government agencies, churches, you name it. But most of the time, they don't know they need a mentor. They just need help,
yeah.
And they don't know what that means. And I will tell you, we're not a welfare organization, so if you're coming in the door and saying, you know, give me a handout, that's not what we do. We want to find out, why are you in the situation that you're in? And so we start to help you build the process to get out of that situation and never let that happen to you again. So our focus is to understand, you know, your world when you first walked in. I mean, we have people dropped off from the hospital systems that they're not medically challenged, but they have personal challenges. Well, we sit down and understand who they are. We then enter them into our Spark classes, which is sparking a renewed passion for their life. And once they go through the Spark class, they have to make a decision. Am I serious about wanting to try to help myself get out of this situation? And if they are, we will do that plus a lot more. In fact, we'll work a lot harder than they will, but we expect them to work hard as well. And so every journey is different. We do everything from, you know, we have a lot of veterans, for instance. In fact, I would tell you that we get double-digit veterans a week coming in that actually have benefits, but they don't know how to access their benefits, or they've had a kind of a stumble and they don't know how to get right back and get in line. So we sit down and we go through and we develop a life plan. Our mentors will sit down with them, and we have some that want to be entrepreneurs. We have others that want to get their GEDs. We have others that just want to go get a job. We have people that we develop that life plan, and then we become their support system from that moment on. And so as they have the trials and tribulations of life, and we all go through that, they now have somebody that is there to listen, to help, you know, discuss, help develop a plan, and go get it.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the spark, sparking a passion for a renewed calling, which is the second component. And I noticed that you determine the person's situation, and if they're ready, you have to come to an agreement, a meeting of the minds, if you will, that person is ready to move on into that spark component of your program, and then on through the rest of the programs that you've described. What does it mean to be ready to go into the Spark program?
Well, I guess I'll tell you a quick story. I had a gentleman drive up in his truck one day when I was out in front of our building and said, I need a $134 check to pay my electric bill.
All right.
And I said, well, we don't do that here. And he said, well, I was told that you help people. And I said, well, we certainly help people. I want to know, why can you not pay your electric bill? And so as we started talking about that, it turned out he didn't really want to discuss why he was in the situation. He just wanted a check. Well, that's an example of we'll give you a hug and tell you God loves you, and we'll send you on your way. What you'll find, though, is most of the people like that gentleman end up coming back to us and saying, I thought about what you said, and I need to think about it more. So we start talking. So sometimes it's basically getting real with yourself. And so we're not going to waste resources. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find people that are serious about helping themselves. And if they're serious, we'll be even more serious to help them get where they need to go.
Okay, so let's get back to where we were. The gentleman with $134, who wants the $134 check, comes back, says, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to give you guys a shot at helping me out in a meaningful way here. And once they've completed the SPARK classes, they're given the option to join the mentoring program. Don't have to, but that is, I guess, what happens with most of your clients?
Well, I would say right now we're probably about 60% that go all the way through the SPARK. SPARK is a two-day session where we talk about our five fingers of focus. And the five fingers of focus, by the way, are: what is their spiritual relationship? What is their well-being, both physically and mentally? What is their financial situation? What is their education and skill set? And the last one is probably the most important in their world, and that's their support system. A lot of the people that we work with, their support system is laying next to them on the street, and that's not necessarily a very good support system. Mm-hmm. So once they opt in, we sit down and we develop more of a detailed life plan. What is it you're trying to achieve? We have a gentleman right now in our program that basically had gotten involved in drugs and was really struggling, heard about us, came in, and actually not only have we worked with him, but we've actually helped him get it. He's enrolled at Tyler Junior College. Mm. He's doing fantastic. He comes in, we sit down and talk about homework, and we sit down and we talk about life plan and so forth. Every journey is different. But the whole point of it is they have somebody there that truly cares. And it's not just one individual, it's the entire team. And so they know that at any point in time, if they stumble, they have somebody they can go come through that door and know that somebody is there that will sit down with them and try to help them get into a better spot.
And I assume that would be the mentor. And that's, of course, the mentor assignment is the next thing that we want to talk about. And we'll talk just a minute here about whom we're talking to today. It's Sam Smith, the CEO of Hand Up Network, at 200 Beckham Avenue in Tyler, 903-597-5334. The website is handupnetwork.com. And anything specific that you want to say about the kinds of folks that you try to recruit as mentors and what their responsibilities are?
Well, what I would tell you is we need everyone, because God has given everybody unique skills, and you have a skill, and by doggone, we could certainly use it depending on what you want to do within our organization. As far as mentors go, though, that we call that a level one volunteer. We actually train our mentors so they don't just jump in and do it. But everybody has life experiences, whether it be in business, whether it be in just things that they've gone through that could be very helpful to an individual. And so I'll give you an example. We may have a lead mentor for an individual, but they have no financial background. So say, for instance, our client needs help in financial side. We partner with Austin Bank, and Austin Bank executives are actually part of our mentorship team.
Right.
And they actually will come and sit down and talk about financial literacy, how to set up an account, and explain why a credit rating is important and so forth. And so they will provide that part of the mentorship. So you may have the lead mentor that is helping navigate that, but they'll bring in, they'll come to us and say, we need this or we need that. And so we do a lot of things. We work with the TJC incubator program, where we have guys that want to be entrepreneurs, and we'll sit down and let the incubator program actually work to develop a business plan. And so, we have a lot of people that just don't know how to get where they want to go. They want to go there, they just don't know how to get there. And so our whole life plan and our mentorship is designed to ebb and flow with the individual and to understand exactly what they're trying to achieve, and we're going to slowly but surely, one step at a time, get them there.
You bet. And no journey is the same. As you tell us, there are many programs that are ready to address the specific needs of that individual. I guess this more or less comes under the dot all the I's and cross all the T's aspect. You are talking to each person as an individual, trying to assess his and her specific needs. There's no one size fits all in your ministry.
Exactly. And what I would tell you is it's not just people that are homeless or people that are struggling. We've had people with PhDs come through our door that had kind of slipped up, maybe got involved in substance abuse or whatever it may be that have come through. So we've had people at all skill sets really going through a rough season, and they need somebody to kind of help organize and help them get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you measure everything you do to ensure your clients are improving throughout their time with you. I think we've kind of been over that. You have clients that have now been with you almost 2 years, and their lives continue to improve on an upward trajectory. That's good to know. And also the fact you stay with them as long as they need you.
Well, we fully expect to be a part of their lives for many, many years, and some I expect probably never to be out of their lives in some form, because we'd rather them come to us when they're having a tough time than to implode and go back to the beginning. So we're certainly available. What I will tell you is when we assess all of our programs, Victim Services is a great example of that. When we were assessing the people coming through our mentor program, we realized that these victims were falling through the cracks. And so the whole reason for the Victim Services Program was designed by the fact that we realized that there were people that had a need, and we needed to address that need if we were going to be able to help them for the long term. So when we assess all of our program, we're always trying to tweak it, try to make it better. And in looking at our assessment and looking at our numbers as we go through that, the trajectory, the longer you're in our system, the better your life becomes.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Sam Smith, CEO of Hand Up Network in Tyler, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And on to response teams. That's the third really key component of what you do. And you have four types of teams. Just go ahead and take it from there, Sam.
We do. Well, it's the most visible part of what we do. People probably see the response team vehicles going all over East Texas. We have community outreach teams. These teams go out and try to find people that could benefit from our programs. We have community response teams, and this is when we get a phone call from governments, churches, civic organizations that they have somebody that's in need, and would we be able to help them? We will send our assessment teams out there, assess the situation, and then come and put together a team specifically for that incident. A good example of that is we get a ton of calls on veterans that have situations where they need handicap ramps or they need some reconstruction of their home to make it stable, whatever it may be. We assess it, we put together a team, and then they go out there and do that. And then we have emergency response teams. As I said before, we sit with the emergency response team here in Smith County, as well as in Gregg County and other counties. And so if a tornado or a natural disaster hits, we come alongside them. We're not first responders, but we do come alongside them immediately. We manage their volunteer walk-up. We also manage the donations that are coming in. We have responded to hurricanes, tsunamis, typhoons all over the world. And so that same team that did that is now at Hand Up Network doing that for the 37 counties of East Texas. Mm-hmm. So we have that. And then our last teams are our prayer and support teams.
Right.
And the prayer and support teams are extremely important because they actually help throughout all of our programs. But they're the people that maybe you physically can't do a lot of stuff, but you can certainly help to provide water bottles for our first responders. You can provide a blanket and a shoulder to cry on for the victims that are struggling with their home has just been destroyed or whatever it may be. So they come alongside, the prayer and support team comes alongside everything that we do. And so whether you're a teenager or you're in your 90s, you can volunteer with us. We have a role for you if you're interested in being part of it.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned the volunteer opportunities. That's something that we always try and mention during the show. And we're going to get back to response teams in just a minute here and also talk about how you've been affected by COVID-19. What about financial donations? Donation tab on your website?
Anything? Yes, sir. The donation tab's on every page. You can't miss it. It's there, and certainly we need it. COVID-19 has really hammered us hard because our main support base is scared for themselves. They've all kind of gone into their cocoons and circled their wagons to protect themselves. And unfortunately, they've stopped giving to us. And so all the nonprofits I know are struggling. But in our particular case, our outputs, what we're doing programmatically has more, it's probably 10 times what we did in 2019 right now. And so we have increased our services, and yet our donations have dropped off dramatically because people are scared about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, right. So you can donate. HandUpNetwork.com. It's on every page.
Absolutely.
Continuing with the COVID-19 theme here, you know, you operated the first responder and medical professionals respite care facilities at TJC for COVID-19 in partnership with the City of Tyler and TJC. How did that work out? And along those lines, is there anything else that you kind of want to tell us about how you're really managing things during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Sure. Well, the City of Tyler actually reached out to us. I mean, we have experience doing this type of stuff all over. So when we had the COVID-19 situation hit, a lot of our first responders and medical professionals were very concerned about going home after a shift because they didn't want to bring COVID-19 back to their own homes. You know, they had people that could be at risk and so forth. And so we got together with our friends at Tyler Junior College in the city, and we took over two of their larger dorms, the Ornelas buildings, and ran a respite care facility for both medical personnel. So after their shift, instead of going home, they were able to come over and get a shower, get a great meal. We had warm food and all kinds of care kits. And basically, we loved on them because they're loving on us and they're on the front lines. And so we did that until everything started to stabilize. We're actually on call to start it back up if it becomes a problem. But it was something that we were honored to be able to do because it's what we do all over the have done all over the world, and to be able to bring that back into Smith County and help our community was something we were honored to do. COVID-19 though has really caused our work to actually increase dramatically. We've never stopped. We've never shut our doors. Our team has not been home. We have been out there working, trying to help people. When someone gets COVID-19 and they don't have a support system, we're the ones that actually are responding, bringing food. We're bringing essential supplies, adult diapers, toilet paper, you name it. We have basically been out there making those deliveries. And so when somebody needs something and they don't have people that can do it for them, we get the phone call from the emergency management coordinator in each county, and off we go. So we have a volunteer network that is out there that is at the ready to respond, to try to make sure these people don't break quarantine. Let's get them well, but at the same time, get them the stuff that they need to be able to do that.
All the while, keeping in mind the social distancing, the hand sanitizers, the hand washing, the masks, making sure that all of that is part of the process. I mean, it's you hardly even have to ask anymore. The word is out. Not everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, but we know that you guys are.
Well, we take great precautions in doing that. Knock on wood, we're blessed. We have yet to have any type of impact from that, but we have certainly been out there at the, on the front lines, and you know, we understand the risk, but at the same time, we have to continue to live our lives and make sure that our fellow members of our community are taken care of.
You bet. Sam Smith, CEO of Hand Up Network, and Tyler is our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. HandUpNetwork.com, quickest way to get more comprehensive information about who they are and what they do. You can also give them a shout at 903-597-5334, and they're located at 200 Beckham Avenue in Tyler, in case you just decide that it's in your best interest to walk in and say, hey, I need some help. You work closely with churches, governments, veteran, and civic groups to address the areas of need within our community. I think we've pretty much been over that, but now's as good a time as any to reiterate it because, well, you're a network. You recognize and exercise the need to for all these agencies to work together, as I understand it, and I'm sure I'm right about that. Got a few minutes left in the show, and we'll talk a little bit now about your retail training center and resale store. That's not one of the main things that you do, but it's important, and it's a significant component of what you do in the community.
It is. It's a unique way. It's one of the things that, that there was a small resale store in that building when we took it over, and so we've added it into our retail training program. My background, by the way, before I got involved in nonprofits, I was a retail apparel executive, and so I have a long history in the retail world. And so what we do in our retail training center is we actually train clients and staff on all aspects of retail. And so they learn everything from inventory control management to merchandising to operations, you name it, they know how to do it. So by the time you go through our retail training program, you can make the best assistant manager of any retail location throughout East Texas. But the biggest probably benefit to the community is that it's a very low-cost store. It's designed that way specifically. It's certainly not a major revenue source for our ministry, but it's designed to allow people to buy things for themselves. And so coming up, we have our annual Christmas store. This is something that they did even before we were there. We've expanded on it, where we have organizations and people and churches and so forth that donate new used toys, clothes, and so forth. And I have to tell you, most of the people that want to come shop at our stores, they could probably go down the street to a church and get something for free.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean as much to them. They want to be able to buy something for their kids. Huh. And so we may have a brand new ball that at Walmart was $10. Well, at our place, it might be $2. And so they have the ability to buy their kids things for Christmas. They buy clothes for proms. They buy clothes. In fact, funny story, we just had Miss Texas. A lady that just won one of the Miss Texas pageants, she came in and bought the dress, the jewelry, and the shoes and everything from our store and came back to give us the pictures and show her sash and crown. And
what a story.
So it's all about trying to bless our community. It's not so much about raising money as it is to try to teach people how to do retail and at the same time provide a very inexpensive alternative to allow people to buy things for their own children and their families.
You bet. And about to wrap up the show in the next minute or so, I'll go over a few things here. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. You've been listening to an interview with Sam Smith of the Hand Up Network in Tyler. HandUpNetwork.com is the website, 903-597-5334, and they're located at 200 North Beckham in Tyler. Victim Services, the mentoring program, and the response teams, the three key components. And then you of course, have the Retail Training Center and resale store. Sam, it's been great to have you back. I know you are busy and you kind of have to get back to what you were doing, but thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you for spreading the word for us.
You bet. Sam Smith, Hand Up Network, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thanks, as always, for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.